Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership, where we focus on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. We will be back with you shortly to start this week's show in just a few minutes. Good evening and welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership. This week we are back in the studio with Lori Beth after a good long trip, Lori, around the world, around the globe as you've been traveling a little bit. We're missing a couple of our regulars, Vicky Arteaga this evening, and Elisa Holston is finishing up the end of a very interesting school year for her, but she did make it through. So we're missing a couple of players today, but we're glad to have Lori Beth in the studio. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Tell us maybe in just a summation about your trip around the globe.
It wasn't around the globe. It was to Italy and Florence, Paris, London, and I went to Wales, my home country, brought back a little bit of Welsh soil from the Joneses. I was reminded by one of the Joneses that it really belongs to the Queen, but they kind of looked the other way while I grabbed a little pocketful to bring back with me. So it was just an amazing trip, and I feel refreshed and renewed.
Exactly, which is where we are going to take this conversation this evening, and we're delighted to be back with you. We've missed the opportunity to dialogue with you about this new book, but there is quite the buzz happening around your book on Twitter and on Facebook. So we are just excited to talk about renewal. With you being refreshed and restored, it should fit right in.
Right.
So this week, as we unpack renewal, wow, that is a big word that, you know, maybe we don't stop and really think about as much as we need to. So we're excited that you are going to unpack it for us.
Well, one of the places that I went on my trip was a little village called Lucca, and it's one of the walled cities in Italy. And it has a wall around it, and then one of the duchesses planted trees along both sides of the wall so that the people could walk in the evenings. And the fields surrounding the walled city are filled with clover, and then there's jasmine growing in the rocks between the walls, and then the trees give off this citrus scent, and it's just, you're immersed and suffused with fragrance on this wall, which was designed for protection. And so I'm thinking about, a wall is built for protection and as a boundary, and at the same time, it becomes a place of renewal. So when you build a boundary for making your sacred time sacred, you can be renewed. The other thing that I observed about Lucca is that within those walls, it's only the city itself is much larger, but Lucca, within the walls, it's only a mile long and half a mile wide. But there is, it's teeming with life and variety and diversity, and there were music classes, and Pinocchio was written there, opera and art, and just a host of, in this one mile, less than a mile square, there was so much going on. And I think part of that was because it's concentrated. And I think we get so dissipated in our life, and we scatter ourselves all over the landscape of our lives, that getting more focused into a walled city of our own could really serve all of us well.
Very interesting picture. One of the things that just kind of jumped out to me as you were talking, Lori, is this concept of renewal. Sometimes people that are in a job search, or, you know, they're unemployed, they're looking for a new job, they're in transition. Oftentimes we reflect on where we've been, back and we reflect and we ponder or wonder where we're going. How does renewal show up in a job process and in regards to this kind of walled experience that you're talking about?
Well, in the book I have 10 tips, and I think we're going to go through those. But before that, in the book I tell a story, a true story, about a young man who'd been trying to get in to sell me a system for a long time. And I resist salespeople like most of us. And he was very persistent, to his credit. So really, after 3 years of wanting to meet with me personally, he insisted that he meet with me personally, I set aside the time and I met with him. And he could not stay awake during the meeting. It was so amazing. And finally at lunch, he said, you know, I am so sorry, but we have 3 dogs and the dogs are all on different schedules. They sleep with my wife and I get them up and I let each one of them out. So he never gets more than an hour's worth of sleep a night. And he literally, his head was almost falling into the soup.
Oh, my goodness.
3 years to try to get this meeting, and he was so exhausted that he couldn't even keep his eyes open.
Mm.
And, you know, I felt badly for him, but I didn't want him to have my business because he couldn't, he was exhausted. And I think that studies show that as a culture, we're exhausted. We're not getting enough sleep. So the walled city that is literally built into our system, the desire and the need for sleep, it's God's way of saying, okay, close down.
Mm.
It's okay to shut down and go with the flow. So that's a very basic thing. We're not getting enough sleep. We're not drinking enough water.
Mm.
So that goes for job searches. That goes for energy. That goes for life itself. So that's just, I wanted to put that as the opening capstone for what we're going to talk about next.
Right. Very good. Well, let's jump into this segment in the renewal section of your newest book here, Jesus Career Counselor, and talk a little bit about, I don't know if you want to talk about each of the tips or if you're going to blog about that maybe later in the week, but you might want to go through each one, or there may be some that you really want to point out as we go along here.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first tip in a job search or a career reinvention is you've got to know your personality.
Mm.
And
We've talked a lot about that.
We have certainly
we?
Talked about that, and yet never enough, because it affects everything you do. And so if you're a wind personality and you think that you're going to be happy being an accountant sitting at a desk, you need to think again about your misery index, because there may be things that you're trained to do that are not in line with your personality.
Mm.
So literally, you want to be in your element in the workplace. But if you don't know what your element is, how can you get into it? So you need to take the time to understand that. I'm working on another book right now, and I make the point that you will learn this one way or the other. You will either learn it up front, or you will suffer the consequences of not knowing it later on in your life.
Through things like frustration,
right.
Or, you know, lack of understanding,
exactly.
Or communication.
Bruises,
yeah.
Bruised ego, bruised soul,
mm.
Bruised body.
Right. Knowing your personality. Okay, let's talk about number two, never limit a job search to a job description.
Exactly. And my experience in the marketplace now, and I think a lot of people would bear this out, is that job descriptions are like a fingernail clipping of what the real picture is mm-hmm. going to be. That if you just say, well, I was, you know, a bank teller, so I'm going to apply for bank teller jobs. Well, if you step way back and become a meta thinker, like we talk about in the very beginning of the book, do you want? Are you a water that loves to serve people? Or are you a fire that wants to be in charge of things? Are you an earth that likes order and structure? Or are you a wind that wants to engage in people? So if you're going to be maybe banking has room for all of those personalities, and I work with a large financial institution, and we have all of the
sure.
personalities there, But the leader that I work with has been really good about fitting the personalities to the job description or beyond the job description so that people are really starting to be unleashed and soar. And one of the gals has been there 14 years. I think technically she's in the head of the IT department, but she's never really in her office. And when I was meeting with the leadership team, they said, you know, we can't exactly tell you what she does. Mm-hmm. But she gets amazing results, and we just stay out of her way.
Wow.
So your job description is to serve and to contribute. That's the job description. Now, whatever it takes to get into the door, into the building is one thing, but you want to go above and beyond the job description, not underneath and around it like some people try to do.
Yeah, trying to make your talents or your personality, your elemental makeup fit something that doesn't really...
Right. Well, and limiting it, like I tell the story in the book of a litigating attorney that I know that really wanted to work with a group of real estate developers, and he just loved these guys. And they just looked at him like he was just a pain because he was a litigating attorney, and that's what he did is he sued people. But he kept saying, I would be so good for them. And I met with them, and they said, we don't need a litigating attorney on the team. And so I sat down with him and I said, okay, you know, these are what I see your skill sets as being. Why do you win cases? And he says, because I see what both sides need and I get them to come quickly to agreement.
Uh-huh.
And I said, now, would that be a handy skill in real estate development? And he said, yes. So when we took away the litigating attorney, which was his title,
sure.
and looked at his skill set about documentation, it's getting the facts, getting people to come to an agreement, seeing how it's in the interest of both parties to settle. He rarely went to court. He always got people to settle and making it a winning situation for the other side. They hired him. But as long as he kept coming at them, as long as they saw the label on him as litigating attorney rather than superb negotiator,
right,
he was not going to get that job.
Yeah, and so a lot of times what we see maybe in the past, and maybe that's shifting some now, in helping individuals find a job or to create a bio or whatever, but it's that whole creativeness. It's your creative side that maybe you haven't even really noticed as a sellable skill.
Yes.
But that creativity and, thinking outside of the box is a couple articles I read last week is really what businesses are asking for.
Yes.
You know, we don't want business as usual. We want to see that piece that's different and might not fit neatly into a job description.
Right,
or
right.
Role. So.
And you don't want to alarm somebody by saying, you know, I really could be CEO of this company.
Sure.
You want to adapt to the slot or the opening that is there for you, but still bring your full skill set and awareness of this is how I've been creative, this is how I've been innovative, this is how I've helped solve problems, this is how I help people get along. Those are the skill sets. Most people can train you to the job, but they need a mindset around a skill set.
Right, so it's that whole meta-thinking again, right?
Right.
Getting out of there. All right, pushing us forward here, Lori. Number three, know your ideal work setting. What are you, is that some of the same likeness in conversation that we're talking about here?
Yes, and it's the environment that you're going to thrive in. If you go to any garden shop, you know, you see some lights, some plants that are in full light, some that need shade, some that need a lot of water, some that need no water. Well, people are the same way, and yet we treat ourselves like we're cogs in a wheel that are going to just fit in wherever we go, or we're going to force ourselves to fit into wherever we go. And the truth is that we need to be aware that we need partial shade, you know, to know up front going into this situation. And I'm working with a young man who negotiated a month off to go see the World Cup.
Right.
And it was a highly desirable job, and he was one of 1,000 candidates. But he told him up front, he said, I committed to myself that I was going to take a year off. He said, I'll work double shifts before and after, but I need to do this. And they respected him so much.
Take a year off or a month?
Well, I'm sorry, a month. Yeah, a year would be a different thing. But and he's trying to get his girlfriend to do the same thing. He says, be clear about what your needs are and tell them up front.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way to a happy employee. So then when he is on the job, he's really happy because he knows that he gets to have his other needs met, you know,
right,
for travel.
So what would you say to someone who is unemployed? And I think you had you brought to our attention someone a few weeks ago sent you a message through your blog that, you know, they were unemployed and they were trying to figure out how to find hope and in this renewal process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know their personality. They figured out a niche, you know, called pastoring,
mm-hmm.
that they do very well. But then there's their ideal work setting would be a church, but maybe it's not fitting a church.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you instruct that person to maybe think, how could they take their gifts of pastoring or pastoral and look at it differently than they've always looked at it?
Well, and as I recall, this particular pastor was locked into the job description and felt that God had called him to be a pastor. And yet he was asked not to be a pastor anymore. And so there was cognitive dissonance in the message there. And he talked about maybe becoming a physician's assistant. And I thought, this is perfect because you get to share your faith. A church looks like people who are hungry for answers. Well, I'll tell you what, people in the doctor's office, they are up against it many times. They really are looking for hope.
Right.
So don't be so narrow that you lock into what it has to look like, as long as you're getting to live your mission. That's the important thing, and that's why you need to know. So for this particular person, his mission was to share faith and hope.
Right.
Well, you can do that in a lot of places.
Yeah.
And many times the churches, they're already sold. So maybe God wants us to go beyond that.
Yeah, so thinking outside the box again. Number four, Laura, you point out, is to know your ultimate lifestyle goals.
Right.
Where are you taking people there?
Well, if sort of like the needing full sun and partial shade, if you know already that you want to work part-time so that you can be home for your kids, then you need to look for work that is going to meet that need rather than going and getting a job and then trying to shape that to meet your need afterwards. So, again, it goes back to the mission and the vision. By shaping that up front, you're going to more naturally go to the type of work that's going to work for you. You know, I tell people, and the editor actually had me edited this out of the book, but, you know, doctors that go to medical school end up in buildings with not a lot of windows, in operating rooms, and in meeting rooms. You don't see a lot of light in there. So if you're a person that needs a lot of light, maybe you need to think twice about becoming a surgeon because you're intense and I'm talking about if you need a lot of outdoors.
Sure.
So you need to think about your own needs as you shape your workplace vision.
Hmm.
Not necessarily demands, but needs. And it goes back to that talent shield of the four talents. You know, like mine is to the ability to speak, the ability to write, my love for people, and my wings for the freedom to express all of those. And if I look at maybe having a television show or a radio show, it would meet three of those four, but not the freedom, because I would have to be in a studio every day.
Right.
To me, that's not freedom.
Right. Good point. We're probably not going to have time to do all 10 points here. We've got about 10 more minutes. We'll see. But this next point you talk about, point number six, get a career counselor or hire a coach. Obviously, that works for people that have an income.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're in a situation what are some options that people can do or that they have? Obviously, the library is a place to find career counselor resources.
Right.
On
Meetup, you could do Meetup groups and say, you know, in a job search, help, let's sort this out together. I think this book costs, what, $20? So everybody puts in $5, you get the book, and then you do a book study around it. You cannot figure this out on your own. I think it's very hard. You need feedback. It's like sonar only works if there's something to ping against. And so you need people around you who can say, you know, you're really good at that. Or, nah, that's you're not going to be happy in that for very long. So
that's a great point. I was on a call Tuesday, one of our past community calls, and one of the leaders was talking about she did this exercise where she sent out to 15 different friends or people that knew her or associates, and she asked them the same question. You know, tell me one thing that you think that I'm the best at. And it was amazing as those, you know, 12 of 15 came back that almost everybody said the same thing.
Yep.
You know, and so that's that clarity, that's that focus of mind that you talk about and that you write about and getting clear.
Right.
You know, really honing and like you just said, bouncing it off of some other people and being a sounding board, even if, you know, so you don't always have to hire, you know, somebody to give you the best advice,
yes.
I guess.
But I do want to make the point that you must, education is expensive, but ignorance is a lot more costly. So you're going to pay for this one way or the other. And really, even if it's $150 or $200 or $2,000, what is your life worth?
Yeah.
You know, people will come up with money to go to basketball games and football games or to buy video systems or whatever, but this is your life we're talking about. What is it worth?
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just blindly hurling yourself into a college environment and getting $100,000 in debt,
sure,
which is really a feedback system, you know, why not sit down with somebody who is trained in this and take the assessments and ask people, because really it is our responsibility to find the path.
Well, good advice. Let's jump down to number 8. Don't ignore the issues.
Yes. I saw a quote on a coffee mug in Santa Fe, and it said, let's see, read it to make sure that I say it right. What page is it on? 98. She could easily keep her balance as long as there were no issues surrounding her destination. I'm going to say it again. She could easily keep her balance as long as there were no issues surrounding her destination. And many times, if people are wobbly or they get close and then they back off, if there is an issue around the destination, address it now. If there's hesitation, then go deeper and say, what is this hesitation I'm feeling? I'm getting a check in my spirit. You know, a lot of church people will use terms like that. I'm thinking of the young man that went to West Point because his father went to West Point, and he didn't really want to go, but it was his dad. And I think you remember the story. We were with his father when he flunked out. Or he broke a curfew and drank liquor and brought a woman to his room or something the night before graduation, which was a big up yours to his father and, you know, to his own career. Well, obviously he had issues about going to West Point, but why did he wait until the last minute to do that, causing great heartache to his father? So, but people do that. We will do that. When you see sabotage, it's people, they've not dealt with the issue, and then for some reason they're sabotaging their own happiness.
Like if there's their mental set point,
yes,
and they can't get past that place because they haven't dealt with that.
Right. So, and I think that's a very good term, is that we have a thermostat. And it's like if you set the thermostat to 73, it's not going to go up to 86 without intervention. And it's the same thing. We have set points, success set points, that Jesus blasts through. You know, the scripture blasts through, positive prophecy blasts through, but if we keep turning it back down to how we were raised or what our comfort level is, then there's going to be issues.
Mm. Very good. Good stuff. Number 9, get out of the house and go network.
Right, right. Your life will be changed by the books you read, the people you meet, the places you go. Well, going to places to meet people, that's 2 out of the 3. So, and now with the internet, you know, the meetup groups and the, you can, it's just amazing how many places you can go where people are networking, chamber functions, and it's going to be easier for the winds to do. Waters are going to have to be motivated to get out of their comfort zone on the couch. The earths are going to have to get out of their habit of maybe, you know, being frozen in front of a computer, just mindlessly sending out resumes. Get out and meet people and make it a discipline. And that's really the key to success. And when you look at successful people across the board, they were great networkers.
Great advice. Well, there's just so much, you know, even crammed into this 30-minute segment with you, Lloyd Beth. That is, it's just a, you know, I'm reminded of how deep these processes and resources are that you've created over the last 10 years, really, that have been proven to help bring about change and transformation in people's lives. One of the very interesting questions that I'd like you to focus on, we've got about 3 minutes left, is, you know, you've placed this section, 10 Tips for a Renewed Job, you know, here in this book called Jesus Career Counselor. What do you feel Jesus would want a person to do with these 10 tips? If Jesus were the counselor today, sitting on this side of the table, you know, giving you or giving me these 10 tips that you've written about, obviously that would be a very powerful experience, right?
Right.
What is it that Jesus as career counselor that you want people to really take and hold in this space as they're looking for a job, as they're looking for a career? We're in the center of this process called renewal.
Right.
You know, what does Jesus as a career counselor want me to do with that?
Well, and I say this, follow the instructions. Do what is written. It is a recipe that works. And you don't have to have a lot of emotion around it. It has already been proven. It has already been developed. You don't have to freelance on this. Jesus, I'm thinking of the times where he gave very specific instructions. Go 7 times to the river.
Sure.
If the guy just went 4 and gave up, he's not going to get the results. And the you know, the widow that had the oil jar, there are so many cases in Scripture where they were given specific formulas.
Mm.
Not to be tampered with, not to be deviated with, not to be freelanced over. And these 10 tips, if somebody just did these things, they will get the results. Jesus said, do these things, and you will get the results. What happens is we do half of them, and then we fall away. We don't follow through. So I would say, Jesus would say, follow the recipe and follow through.
Well, we've got just about a minute here, Lori, to wrap up this evening. Thank you so much for bringing this again. It's been great to jump back in and you know, just walk with you through this process. You know, a lot of people are in this space of transition, looking for careers, looking for jobs, doing things differently, thinking out of the box, and this kind of material. Powerful for all of us. So thank you, and we look forward to the following weeks here as you continue to share with us.
Well, thank you. It's very exciting. And I was walking in the park with a young man today. He's 12 years old. And he said, what do you think I'm good at? And my heart just leaped in my chest, and it also broke because he's 12 years old and nobody has quite told him yet. And he's looking at the world, and it's so beautiful for him, but he needs so much guidance.
Mm.
And so we need to surround the people that we love with feedback, with positive feedback. This is what you're good at. This is what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Not channeling them into a job description, but into a mission and a sense of purpose and a sense of being gifted and fully equipped to do what God has created them to do.
Beautiful.
That's my purpose and passion in life.
Mm. And we love that. And thank you all for listening again this week. We'll be back next week with more discussions on Jesus Career Counselor. Thank you, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. Great show.